Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
All right, we're beginning a brand new series on the power of praise and worship. Pastor, why would you teach on this? You know, in 38 years, I'm the founding pastor. In 38 years, I've taught a lot of series. Usually do one a year on praise and worship, the life of praise, the praise cure. Usually, in our planning, we at least once a year teach on the subject of praise and worship. But I think right now it's more appropriate than any other time. Yesterday, as the guys were planning and preparing and practicing, you know, I told Daniel, I said, Daniel, this series, I feel more urgency and more importance than any other time in 38 years that I've ever taught on praise and worship. Because the world is more negative. You have more pressure. You have more problems. There's been more suicides in the last 2 years. It's not healthy to stay home. It's not healthy to be isolated. We weren't created to be lonely. You weren't created to wear a mask. And so it's been so terrible on people's lives. The last 2 years has been so devastating. More suicides, more depression. You can't get in to see a doctor. People on medication, negativity, being cynical and sorrow and sadness. So I think now more than ever, we need to get skilled at praise and worship. Because praise and worship will change your perspective. Praise and worship, I'm giving you stuff now, will change your attitude from negative to positive. It will change your outlook, which will change your outcome. I'm telling you the why I'm teaching on it. And that why I have a greater passion and urgency now, more than 38 years of teaching on it. Because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Our morals, our standards, our guidelines, our foundation. So we need to know and be more skilled at going at a deeper level. I know I want you to pray for me that through this series I go to a deeper level with my praise and worship. And so that's why you see us do more and more effort, more work strategically today and for the rest of this month, because we want to give you a lab for the first 20 minutes of our service. So then you go into the doctrine and the teaching in the last 30 minutes of our service. Praise and worship will change your perspective. It will change your outlook, which changes your outcome. Praise and worship will take you from a negative attitude to a positive attitude. I'll never be a strong Christian without being strong with my worship. I can't be a strong Christian and have weak worship. I'm going to say that again. That's worth brushing your teeth, taking a shower, coming to church. I can never be strong in my walk with God without a strong life of praise and worship. It won't happen. And so worship and praise bring strength into my life. The more I and the better I get at worshiping God and praising God, the stronger I get as a Christian. Praise and worship enlarges my picture of God. I'm giving you bullet points right now. I'm giving you what's the deal. Why are we doing it? It enlarges my picture of God. Praise and worship shrinks my problems. Praise and worship, did you know praise and worship brings answers to all the problems you have going on in your life and in my life today? Do you understand? We're going to look at it next week, but the benefits of praise and worship, today's a foundation. But do you, in the psalm, in Psalm 78, David said, when I went to the house of God, then I understood. He said, I didn't understand why the heathen prosper and the heathen are blessed and the heathen this and the heathen that and why it's not happening in my life. And then David said, I went into the house of God. I went to church, got in God's presence with a lot of people, which has greater energy than staying at home. I went to the house of God. Then David said, then I understood. Praise and worship solves my problems. Praise and worship gives me a strategy. And the list goes on. Next week we'll look at it, the benefits of praise and worship. But here's the deal. I just want to lay a foundation today about what is praise and worship. I want to answer questions. I want to give the why. So what is it? Why do we do it? Who do we praise and worship? You said, Pastor, isn't that obvious who we worship? I don't think so. So we're going to find out, well, what is praise and worship, and why do we do it, and who do we worship, and then we're going to end with how do we worship, because God doesn't receive all praise and worship. God doesn't receive all religiosity done in a church service. So we're going to find out how to become more skilled. Is that okay? Y'all pray for me, okay? Because I want to go to a new level in my praise and worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. I want more of his presence. I told Pastor Kim last night, I said, I want more of God's presence in our house. I want more of God's presence in my truck. I want more of God's presence in our church, in our nation, in our city, in our community. Amen, everybody? Okay, so let's start, all right? So the power of praise and worship. And we're going to make a few statements, but let's answer the first question. Well, what is worship? What is it? Worship is giving to God the best he has given to you. That's a quote from Oswald Chambers. If you're looking for a good devotion, my utmost for the highest, Oswald Chambers is one of the best. And this is the quote from Oswald Chambers. Worship is giving to God, not half-heartedly, not my leftover and my income, not coming late to church, not seeing insignificant of praise and worship, not half-mass, not looking at my phone during praise and worship. Come, it's getting quiet in this. Can I speak the truth? We're living in a world full of lies. How do you live in a world full of lies? You build your life on the truth. I want greater results in our praise and worship. I want to see you healed, restored, anxiety and stress leave. I want to see restoration of marriages and children with parents and parents with children. Worship is giving to God not lukewarm, not leftover, not once in a while, not once a month, not once a week, not if I have time. It's giving God the best that he's given to you. I like that. And Oswald Chambers is the one who said that. Worship is giving to God my very best. That means if I'm serving, I'm there on time, I'm prepared. Come on, somebody. That means, you know, that I don't, you know, give God, again, leftovers, less than my best. I want to give him my best energy. I want to give him my best focus. Am I making it simple today? Worship is giving God the best that he has given to you. Worship is giving God our respect and our reverence. Worship is giving God my respect. And I just want to say, y'all did awesome during the first 25 minutes today. Y'all did awesome. Worship is giving God our respect and our reverence. Do you know, the more we respect God, the more we receive from God. So well, how do you know if somebody respects God? If they respect the house of God, the things of God. Worship, when I went to college, way back when Moses crossed the Red Sea, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, Jurassic Park. When I went to college, my first class, precious, precious missionary lady, elderly lady, the first thing she did is she said, boys, girls, if I walk across the campus parking lot and I see the Bible on the dash of your car, if I see the Bible, seriously, if I'm lying, I'm fried, on the back, you know, back window of your car, if I see your Bible, you flunked my class. What was she saying? That's disrespect. Of the Word of God. When I bring my Bible, when I open my Bible, I'm respecting God. If I don't respect His Word, I don't respect God. Can I tell the truth today? The world is full of lies. We need the truth. Worship is giving God our respect and our reverence. Worship is expressing. Worship is expressing our gratitude and our love to God. You know, Kim and I, you don't need to clap, okay? Just pray for us. But Kim and I this year will be married 49 years. So pray for us. Just pray for us. And next year will be 50. Whoa, half a century. But 49 years, okay? And, you know, I love Pastor Kim. I love her now more than I've ever loved her, 49 years. But what would happen if I only told her I loved her on Sunday? Our relationship wouldn't get close. If I only told her at church on Sunday morning, do you see the analogy? If you're only telling God you love him on Sunday morning, if I'm only worshiping him at church, if I'm only expressing and doing worship at church, I'm telling God once a week I love him and I'm thankful. You can't build a relationship like that. You can't get close to that person. So Pastor Kim, she would El Kabong me. Remember Quick Graw McGraw, the cartoon? She'd El Kabong me if I just told her once a week I loved her. I tell her I love her every day. Every night before we go to bed, we both tell each other that we love each other. Every morning, 49 years, every morning before we leave the house, we pray and we tell each other we love each other. Worship is expressing. So it's okay to express your love and your gratitude to God. Can I have a witness at Church on the Rock? Now, worship is expressing our gratitude and love to God for what? For what he has done. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what he's done. How about you? He's saved my life so many times that I know of and times I don't even know of. So it's expressing your gratitude and expressing your love for what he's done and then for what he has said, for what he's promised, for the word of God. Again, we're pro-God, we're pro-word, we're pro-life, we're pro-Israel, we're pro-Holy Spirit. Amen. And we praise God. We express, praise and worship is expressing to God how much we love him and how thankful we are for what he's done in our life and then for what he said. 7,000 promises in the Bible. Thanking him for the word of God. Do you know the more you thank God for the word, do you know you'll increase the anointing in your life? Because the Holy Spirit wrote the word. And the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. That's huge, that little tidbit right there. And then I thank him and praise him for what he's going to do. Our best days are ahead. That was kind of weak. Our best days are ahead. As a church family and as individuals, our best days are ahead. We thank him for what he's going to do. Not only what he has done, we express that love and appreciation and thankfulness for what he has done, what he has promised, and what he's going to do. We're answering the question, what is praise and worship? Worship is our response to his attributes. Worship is our response to his attributes. So if I don't know his attributes, I'm lame in my worship. If I don't know his attributes, I sure do love y'all, by the way. I'm spoiled. Pastor Thomas said, you're spoiled. I'm spoiled to be your pastor. But if I don't know his attributes, you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't know what to say after 30 seconds? Well, we need to get to know him better. And the more you know him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you'll express your love and gratitude to him. I need to do a biblical study of the attributes of God. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is omnipresent. God is all strength. God is good. God is faithful. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. And so the more of his attributes that you and I know, the more we'll get skilled in our praise and worship, the more power in our house to live in difficult times that you and I are in, and they're going to get more difficult this year. Worship is our response to his attributes. Well, you know, I got, why in the world are they praising God for all this time? You know, I mean, 30 seconds and I'm done. You're done, all right. No. What you want to do? I want to help you. You want to begin to focus on who he is and his goodness and his mercy and his love and his faith. We sing about his faith. We sing about his attributes. Pastor, I can't sing. Neither can I. But I can speak the words. Okay, praise the Lord. Worship is our response. We're answering, what is worship? Who are we to worship? Excuse me. Who are we to worship? You know, we were wired for worship. Can you say that with me? I am wired to worship. Did you know that every human being worships something? They worship golf. They're out there today. They worship the lake. They're out there today. They worship a hobby. They worship their children. They worship their mate. They worship their job. They worship their career. We were wired to worship. We were made to worship. So if we don't worship the one we were made to worship, we're going to worship something or someone. Who are we to worship? And under that, next, guys, Matthew 4, verse 10. This is when Satan was tempting Jesus. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. You know, when we want to exercise our authority in spiritual warfare, you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to say something to the devil, demons, adversity, for things to change. Can't just think it, you got to say it. Then said Jesus to the devil, get out of here, for it is written. What is he doing? Quoting Old Testament scripture. For it is written, that's the sword of the Spirit, right, everybody? That's the armor of God. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God and him and your children. No. Or your job, your career, your education, your house. No, your hobby. No, only you shall worship the Lord your God and him only, and you shall serve him. So notice, if I'm not serving, I'm not worshiping. We live in a world full of lies. I got to tell the truth. If I'm not serving, I heard someone say, if I'm not serving, I heard Warren Wiersbe, I read in a book, a Baptist. He said, if you're not serving, you're not a Christian. Bob Dylan, you know that theologian, Bob Dylan? He said, you're going to serve somebody. Yeah. Look what Jesus said. You shall worship the Lord your God and him only. He comes first. But thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him. So I'm not really worshiping him totally until I am serving him. Serving in the local church or serving in my community. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I don't got time to serve one and worship one. Then some leaders say that I'm not a Christian. Warren Wiersbe and other leaders, these are Baptist dudes. And they said, if you got to beg people to serve in your church, then they're not Christians. Because if I'm a worshiper, I'm a server. Yeah. That's not to get on anybody's case. I'm just teaching the word today. I don't want to condemn anybody. I'm actually bragging on you because you're servants of the, I believe you are. Amen for that weak amen, but we'll take it. Praise the Lord. All right, so you shall, who do we worship? Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall reverently fear the Lord. Remember, worship and praise is responding with reverence. Reverence and respect, praise God. You know, if you go to a doctor, they want you there early. Someone told me Friday, said, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to the chiropractor today. And they said, I got to be there 30 minutes early. And if I'm not, they charge me extra. I think we need to do that at Church on the Rock. Okay, all right, praise the Lord. I'm outvoted, hallelujah. If we got to be early for a doctor, shouldn't we be early? You shall reverently fear the Lord your God and serve him. Who do we worship? Him. and swear by his name and presence. So what is worship? We answered that. Who do we worship? We answered that. That we're not to worship ourselves. I need God today, y'all. I can't stay married without God after 49 years. I'm too hard to live with. I can't lead you without God. I don't have the ability. I can't be the grandparent, the parent God wants me to be. I need God today. I can't stay healthy in a sick world. I need God. I really do. Hallelujah. All right, so why do we worship? So we're answering questions today. We're laying a foundation. And then next week we'll talk about the benefits. But why do we worship? We answered what it is. Who do we worship? God and God only. He has to come before my family, my children, my job, my career, my hobbies. He has to come first. You know, I'm a car guy. I got a Formula One jacket on about years ago at the Formula One races in Austin. I'm a car guy. And you know, most car guys' car shows are on Sunday. And guess what? I haven't been to a car show for so long. Why? Because this is where I'm supposed to be on Sunday, unless I'm on vacation or sick or working. Thank you for that great response. Why do we worship? Why do we worship? 1 Chronicles 29:14. Why do we worship? Why do I worship? Well, you know, worship brings change in my life. Worship brings transformation in my life. You know, Kim loves for me to praise and worship God in my private time. I have an office in my garage at home, and she loves for me to go out there and praise the Lord because I come out better, sweeter, kinder. I go in Clark Kent. I come out. But who am I and what are my people that you pray for me, that you should retain strength? Who am I, David said, and what are my people that we should retain strength and be able to offer thus so willingly? Talking about giving to God. For everything I have, this is David, he said, everything I had comes from God. Everything. Everything, our job, our car, our house, our career, our education, you know, everything we have, our breath, our very breath. That's why we should praise him. You know, what it is, who do we praise and worship, and why? Because everything you have, your very breath, has come from God. David said, everything, all things come from you. And out of your own hand, we give back to you. What did Oswald Chambers say? He said, worship is what? Is giving our best that God's given to us, giving it back to him. Right? So this is the why. Everything we have, we owe God. Everything we have, now we can't pay him back, but we are to live our life giving back. Because look at James 1:17, as the team comes out, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good thing we have in our life came from God. Every good thing, every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. Who's that? God, in whom there's no variableness. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? Oil barrels, prices are changing. Gas is changing. Utilities are going up. Interest rates are going up. Groceries are going up. But aren't you glad that God doesn't fluctuate? Aren't you? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variableness. Neither is there no shadow of turning. So this is why. How do we worship God? Is this okay with everybody today? We're just laying a foundation. How do we worship God? What is praise and worship? Who do we praise and worship? Why do we praise and worship? And again, just on the weekends is not enough. My marriage wouldn't last another week if I just told Kim today, love you, hope that settles it for the week. See you next Sunday. Oh, man, I get burnt offerings for lunch, you know. How do we worship God? This is where I wanted to land, really. How do we worship God? You know, a lot of churches have a different thing. Some churches, you look at statues and pictures, and you kneel down, stand up, kneel down, stand up. Other churches, they do it on Saturday only. Others, they do it, you know, on Sunday only. I mean, all religions have different ways of worshiping God. But what does the Bible say? How do we worship God? Let's find out what the truth is. And the truth is the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. Now, you do know God is a spirit, capital S. God is a spirit. And you do know that God lives in another world. You do know there's another world better than this world. And the invisible is actually more real than the visible. God is in another world. Why can't I see God? Because man would begin to make statues of him and worship. Just a thought. God is a spirit, and that and they that worship him at Church on the Rock, two ways. How do we worship God? This is Jesus, red letter, woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, we're talking about the power of praise and worship, those that worship him must worship him two ways, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and truth. You see the word spirit is a small s? Small s means your spirit, my spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Your spirit and my spirit and truth. Notice two ways that we, the right way to worship God. And it's in spirit and in truth. Can you say that with me? In spirit and in truth. So liken it this way. In devotion and doctrine. In devotion and doctrine. Real worship is when I get my worship on. Real praise and worship is when I worship and praise God with all my energy, all my passion, all my focus, all my faculties. That's real worship. Real worship is not when my spirit comes in negative, I stay negative, I'm critical, I sit there, I'm a bystander, I don't engage, I don't enter in. When I do, I give God what I don't want to give God, half mass. That's not the way to worship God if I want worship to transform my life. I got to go, can I say, whole hog? I got to go all the way. I got to get radical. You know, we get radical at the Cardinals games, at the Blues games. We get radical, and what do they call us? A fan. You get radical in church, and what do they call you? A fanatic. Right? So the way to worship God, how do we worship God? Two ways. In spirit, that's devotion. All the way. I'm here. I'm not going through my phone while everybody else is worshiping. I'm not looking on my computer. I'm not sleeping. I'm not letting my kids sleep. Don't let your kids sleep in church. If you do, they're going to leave your house and leave God when they leave high school. You let your kids sleep in church, they're going to go to sleep on God. So I have to worship him in spirit, all in, all there, devotion, and in truth. What is that? That is doctrine. I got to worship him in the right way. What is doctrine? Another word for doctrine is teaching. Teaching. I got to worship him in the way the Bible says to worship him. Am I helping anybody today? I got to worship him in the way the Bible says I worship him. 2 Chronicles 31:21. I'm just about done. The food truck's waiting on us. Hezekiah incorporated Moses' teaching and commands into worship. What did he incorporate into worship? Teaching. Bible. Doctrine. Whoa. Bible says lift your hands in the sanctuary. Bible says dance before the Lord. Bible says sing unto God a new song. The Bible says worship him with instruments. Come on, somebody. The Bible says clap your hands. The Bible says shout unto the Lord. Notice that he incorporated the truth, Bible guide, into real worship. So real worship is when my spirit is not half-heartedly here and thinking about what I'm going to do this afternoon. It's when I'm all here. I'm in. It's on. And the deal, then I take what the Word says, and that's how I worship God. Not the trends of the culture. Commands unto worship. Dedicated his life to serving God. Do y'all see there doctrine and dedication? See the word dedicated? He had the doctrine and the devotion. Dedicated his life to serving God. And whatever he did for the worship in God's temple, he did it half-heartedly. Came late. Once a month. I want you to succeed in your marriage, your parenting, raising your kids for God. When 75%, George Barna said last week, 75% of church kids will leave God when they graduate right now. We need a revival. We need Wednesday night back and pray. Why am I talking? I want you to succeed with your health, with your job, your career. I want you to succeed in life. And look at this. When he worshiped God the right way, it wasn't wasted 25 minutes. It wasn't, it doesn't matter, the worship, I'll come after the offering. No, he saw that when he incorporated dedication and doctrine and wholeheartedly giving God his best, look at this, he succeeded. He was a success in whatever he did. I'm teaching on praise and worship because I want you to have a successful night of sleep. I want you to be successful in raising your kids for God. I want you to be successful in your relationship with your mate and your date. I want you to be successful in your enterprise, your job, and your career. Because I love you and I care about you, I got to give you the truth. Oh, come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. I'm out of time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. Come on, somebody say, God is good. Say, my best days are ahead. Because I dedicate my life to God wholeheartedly. From this day forth, things are changing in my life and my house. Give God one more praise, would you? Amen, amen, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.